King of the Old Testament, what he's going to do is substitute his relationship with Jesus Christ for some kind of a religious ceremony. Let us set up some tabernacles. I mean, their whole religion, so to speak, they turn from a relationship into basically just having ceremonies. That's what they thought of it. That's what they thought the religion was, just a bunch of ceremonies. Do we sometimes do that? Do we sometimes go through the motions? We know what we're supposed to do, and we do it. We've been doing it for decades, right? And it's easy. We just come to church, listen to the pastor. We go outside our daily lives. Do we apply any of those changes to our lives? Are we trying? Are we choosing to walk spiritually? Peter, what he was actually doing with the tabernacles was actually denying Jesus the true and proper worship that he was due. He had elevated Moses and Elijah to this exact same level, to the same plane that Jesus was on. Because he said, let us erect three tabernacles and pay homage to all three of you. I mean, Jesus was saying we should worship a man. That's what he was saying. And he was denying God the worship that he was due. He had lost sight of who Jesus was. He was lacking in proper reverence for the Lord. Not working, John. What'd you do? Flip the slide for me. All right, thank you. So, as they were saying this, God the Father overshadowed them. All right? See, the central doctrine of all of our Christianity is that Jesus Christ is God. If Jesus Christ is not God, then we have nothing. We're not saved. His death was just a good example. We have nothing. Our faith is in vain, as Paul says. It's empty. There's nothing in it. We are lost in our sins. We are on our way to hell. If Jesus Christ was not God, if he was just a good man setting a good example for us, then we have nothing. We're wasting our time. Jesus himself said that he was God. He said, I and my Father are one, in John 10:30. He said, I am one with the Father. I am God. And if that wasn't proof enough, the Jews knew what he was talking about. If you read verse 33, they knew what he was talking about. They said, and the Jews answered him, saying, for a good man we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. They knew exactly what he was saying. He says, you are saying that you're God. And that's what he was saying. I am God. I am God. When Christ was baptized in the Jordan River and he came up out of the water, God the Father said in an audible voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the second time that God the Father is coming out with an audible voice on the mountain. And he says, this is my beloved Son. And I can't remember if it's Matthew or Mark. It says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. See, God the Father is directing Peter, James, and John to reverence the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear Jesus. He didn't say, hear Moses. He said, hear Jesus. Hear him. This is my Son. Hear him. Christ alone is worthy of our full attention. He's worthy of our worship. And the first step, if we're going to have victory in our lives, the first step for us is to hear God's voice. If you're going to be victorious, you're going to have to choose to read your Bible. You're going to have to choose to pray. You're going to have to choose to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to make those choices. It's a choice. Peter, James, and John heard God's voice. But we have the Bible. The Bible's called the Word of God, right? You want to hear what God is saying? Read your Bible. If you pray, say, God, I don't know what to do, or I don't understand this, and you're doing everything that you can, reading your Bible and praying about it, you will get direction. God's promised you He would. He will give you direction. The Bible is a living book, and it speaks to our hearts. The pastor on Friday talked about holding on for God, right? Because he had all those telephones. Hold on for a message from God. In 1998, there started a program or whatever out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where they had all these billboards. Y'all remember these billboards? It had sayings from God, right? They were kind of cute. Some of them were kind of cute. Let's meet at my house Sunday before the game, right? I think they even had some of these in Texas. Come on over and bring the kids. They're trying to get people's attention. What part of thou shalt not did you not understand? I love the wedding. Invite me to the marriage. Right? That was a good one. Have you read my number one bestseller? There Will Be a Test. I can think of 10 things that are carved in stone. Huh? I don't question your existence. There were some things. There was a lot more, but I think that whoever it was, it didn't. It just said that it was anonymous. But they were trying to get people just for a minute or two to think about God. It changes your mindset. Maybe you're in rush hour traffic. There was one about there, and there, if you don't like me or whatever, I'll make rush hour longer. But think about God for just a minute. It breaks the thought process. Just think about it. Heed the Son. It's clearly understood that God not only wants us to hear, but to obey. In Matthew 7:24, Christ said the definition of a wise man was, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man. A.W. Tozer said this, it is not just trust, it is not just obey, it is trust and obey. That's how he explained it. He was right. Of course, we know in John or James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Otherwise, your faith is in vain. The victorious Christian life is only experienced by both hearers and doers. The Bible is full of examples. Full of examples. Joseph, Daniel, of people who heard God and followed His word. And followed what He said. And tried to live a good Christian life. The Bible is full of examples of God blessing people. Unfortunately, it's full of examples of people who chose not to. And they did the opposite. Cain. Look at the offering Cain brought. He knew what to do. Abel knew what to do. Somebody had to teach him on the correct way to give an offering. I mean, why would they teach one son and not the other? It doesn't make any sense, right? But Cain chose to do the opposite thing. It was a choice. the choice to follow God is an easy one, really. It's just a choice. You just have to make a choice. You have to make a choice every day. It's not a mood. It's not an emotion. It is with your intellect. But more than that, it is your heart. It is your innermost being. Do you love God from your heart? Not just your head, from your heart. Yeah, you read the Bible, you try to memorize it, but the whole purpose is for you to apply those things in your life so that you not only can hear God's word, but you can obey Him. And when you make that choice, you will be transformed. You will have a transformed life. You will live a transformed life. But it involves total commitment. I mean, God has plan A, which is trust and obey, and have a great life down here, and be blessed. And there's a plan B. Yeah, I'm saved, but I don't want to give up anything. You're still going to go to heaven if you're truly saved. But you're going to miss out on a whole lot of things from down here. And you're going to miss out on a whole lot of things from up there. We talked last week about sending rewards ahead. That's what we're doing down here. That's why we're still here, so that we can tell others how to get saved. But it's a choice. Jesus Christ is God. And He is Lord of all, and He deserves our reverence. He alone is worthy of our reverence. And basically, this story today is to teach us that, yeah, Moses and Elijah were great men, but they were just men. We have the exact same privileges that they had, that we can come in and talk to God every day. It's a choice. It's a daily choice. We must choose to not only hear God, but to obey Him. Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of His saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. God is worthy of our reverence. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these few minutes that we've had here today. Father, I pray that I have said something that was worthy, that somebody will, when they read this story in the future, they'll remember that this is about reverence to Jesus Christ. Bless the services that follow. We ask it all in Jesus' name.